Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the program, The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, familypetancestry.com, allthingscomedy.com/thedorkforest. I think that's what it is on All Things Comedy. You can watch it. You can listen to the show on at dorkforest.com. You can listen on iTunes. You can review it on iTunes. You can download it on SoundCloud from allthingscomedy.com. And All Things Comedy, they're plugging along and they're trying to get this thing kind of exciting. So go over there to allthingscomedy.com and check out all the different shows that are over there, because they're looking for some clicks. So I want to be part of the solution. My name is Jackie Cation. I'm the host. The credits, of course, Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Bless him. And Vilmos works on my website, JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg composed and sang the intro song that you just heard. He will sing the Mexican Hat Dance lyrics by him at the end of the program. I think this month's ad, is going to be my friend Jenny Bergman has a toy store in New York City that I freaking love. It's called West Side Kids, and it's on 84th and Amsterdam, Upper West Side in Manhattan. So if you need, I buy all kinds of stuff there. And my favorite thing to get for my nieces and nephews over there are the costumes. And I get a magician, a pediatrician, a veterinarian, two night costumes so that the kids could each have a night costume and fight each other. This is over the course of years, right? Like there's only two. I just started doing this with the youngest kids. West Side Kids. And they have all the different toys. They have all the toys for whatever age. And then they have baby toys and they have kid toys and they have older kid toys. And then they have stuff I want to play with, is what I'm saying. But I really like the costumes. So West Side Kids, 84th and Amsterdam in New York City, if you ever go over there. I guess I'm doing the ad right here. That's what's happening. Anyway, JackieCation.com has all the merchandise you might ever need if you want to buy Jackie Cation-related items and Dork Forest-related items. We got the Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt by my nephew. We got the Dork Forest in brown and green t-shirts by Brett Chambers. There's CDs and DVDs of my stand-up comedy. Those are available. And my full schedule is on JackieCation.com. So there's also the Amazon banner. If you ever order from Amazon, if you use that banner as a portal, I get a small kickback. It doesn't cost any extra. It just as a portal to get to Amazon. It helps the show as well. You could also donate to the program. If you enjoy the Dork Forest, I'd love you to send $10 a month. I haven't made it easy. I haven't set up a monthly donation thing because I don't like a monthly donation thing when I donate. Or you can just send me $100 a year. Or you can send me whatever you can afford if you would like to donate to the Dork Forest. Or you can just tell people about the show. Whatever you can afford, whatever you like, I'm glad you're listening to the program. Jackie@JackieCation.com is my email address. Let's, for the love of God, get into it. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in Minneapolis. That's right, doing the Acme Comedy Company. This isn't going to go up until February, but what the heck. I'm here with, Leanne Olson. And you know her as @Geekiana. You know her from such things as my Watership Downton Abbey t-shirt, which I wore out, sadly. And I must purchase another, no doubt, at your geekiana.com.
Yes, you can do that.
Turns out attainable goal?
It is.
Excellent.
I have made it findable.
Findable. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you were on the show very briefly. Didn't you do the Doctor Who one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah.
All right, it's all a blur. Good to know. Good to know, Jackie, that you got it. Mine's like a sealed trap.
I came on and told you how much I don't know about Doctor Who.
Which is perfect,
which
quite honestly.
Was really excellent.
Really summed up the Dork Forest in a bit of a nutshell. But you emailed me recently and you said, you know, you've been dancing around these musicals. Every
you
episode
about it and
theater.
You don't talk about it. And you had, I think it was Julie Klausner. You said, we're going to talk about musicals.
And then she didn't want to talk about musicals?
No.
Right.
We just weed it off.
We weed it off. That it'll happen. It'll
no.
happen. So let's talk about musicals. What do you know about musicals? What do you love about musicals? Let's start at the beginning.
Okay. I think I saw Music Man first.
Okay.
When I was
a baby.
Yeah, you know, like eight.
Right.
Maybe. I think that was the very first thing I saw that was
the movie.
Oh no. stage, like oh, going
your first
to,
stage production.
Yeah, Chanhassen Dinner Theater.
Oh, very nice.
I'm sure you know it. You love it.
I've heard so much about it. I've never been to it.
You've never had the Chicken Chan? I can't believe it.
What's the Chicken Chan?
It's like their most popular entree.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Because it's dinner theater.
Yeah, it is.
Much like Soap Dish. See, this is why nobody ever talks about it, because we weed off into Soap Dish.
Right.
But so you saw the Music Man live and in person when you were about eight.
And I loved it so much. I wrote a fan letter to the guy who played Harold Hill.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And he wrote back to me.
Well.
Which was super sweet.
It is super sweet and probably shocking at the time. But when you think about it from the perspective here, how many fan letters was he getting?
Not that many.
Not that many. So he was like, of course I'll respond to this.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. And he was a dad and he had a daughter who was around the same age. And so he was great. And he wrote me back and he said, I'm going to do Hello Dolly next. You should come see that.
Okay.
So a little PR, working the angles.
Right,
that's
right.
Okay.
He's no fool.
No. So we went to Hello Dolly and his contract was up and he was no longer in the show.
Oh.
But I still like the show.
Right. It was just a different guy.
Yeah.
Playing Dolly.
Yes.
No, I've never seen Dolly. I've never seen Hello Dolly. I've seen The Music Man. The Music Man is great.
Yes.
The Music Man reminds me of Friends and Family.
should.
Right, right. But it's there's always a band, kid.
Yes.
There's always a band.
Yes.
And it's The Last Starfighter, but with dancing.
It is.
And it's wonderful.
I mean, what's not to like?
There's nothing not to like. Yes.
And I do, to this day, I like Music Man better than Hello Dolly. I don't know if it was the early childhood trauma.
No,
but,
Music Man.
But it is.
I've never
better.
Even wanted to see Hello Dolly.
No.
Who was in Hello Dolly? Was it Streisand? Who was in the movie?
I think so.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think.
Now, what is the story of Hello Dolly? Is it a bawdy 1860s riverboat? What the hell is it?
It's,
I forget.
It's a shop owner, and he's got two young guys that are working for him that are desperate to have an afternoon off. And they sabotage some cans in the cellar, make them explode. So then, oh, the store smells funny. We have to have an afternoon off. So they go to, oh, what is it? It's a New York.
Like the Bowery? Or?
Are they in Albany and they go to New York or they're in Buffalo? And I don't remember how it goes.
This is the greatest stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is one of the things about musicals that always cracks me up is that they don't care.
No.
When I was a child, my stepmother used to say to me, her first musical, I think, was Singing in the Rain, and it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she stepped out into the streets of Cudahy, Wisconsin, only to be forever disappointed that people didn't just break into song.
Well, I get it. People don't like musicals. I completely understand.
The people who don't like musicals, you understand
their
point of view?
I understand there are a lot of them, and I get why.
Because
I think it's just raw emotion when you have somebody out there just singing their head off and it's like really off-putting to a lot of people. And I get that. I completely understand. It's really unsettling.
I know, but I think to some extent that they are pushing away joy.
Yeah.
To not enjoy a musical. Because a musical can, and granted, not every musical. And
not
I don't like
every
all musicals.
No, I don't either.
Okay. Like, I do love all those early Rodgers and Hammerstein ones. But
I
there
do.
Are scenes in those Rodgers and Hammerstein that I think to myself, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I get that. But one of the great things I did is I took a class on the history of musical theater.
Oh, really?
And that
Where?
Was... I went back to college as an adult.
Right.
Which was wonderful. Because it kind of felt like I was getting away with something. Because when I was an adult and I didn't have as many credits to finish up,
right.
I got to take all the stuff that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
And it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's
first
freeing.
Class I went to was History of Musical Theater. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, really?
Yeah.
But the thing that I learned so much about Rodgers and Hammerstein is that really, they were the first ones doing what they did consistently.
Okay.
I mean, there were tons of musicals before that, and there were tons of
The Follies
reviews.
And,
yeah.
They were more like variety shows,
they
weren't
really
they?
They really were. They weren't.
They sort of invented the
so
musical
much,
as we know it.
With a story. With
yeah,
an actual
a story.
Story
and an arc and a weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when Oklahoma came out.
Yeah.
People were like, what the hell is this? the great
what, was
title.
Was Oklahoma their first one?
It was their first one. The great title of this article was... That the first thing that we read in this class was called No Legs, No Jokes, No Chance.
Okay.
Because
that was the review, essentially.
That well, the guy that was supposed to be one of the potential backers
okay.
didn't show up to the preview. He sent his secretary.
Okay.
And she sat through one act of this and she went, nope, this sucks. This is the worst thing I've ever seen because it's weird.
Yeah, because she had never seen anything like
it. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. Now we're all like, yeah, Oklahoma, whatever.
Right.
You know, but that was actually revolutionary at the time.
Well, it sounds it now.
Because there was one guy at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, singing a song.
One guy walked out and started singing. And everyone was like, what, where
are the girls?
Where are the dancing girls?
Yeah.
There's no chorus. What's happening here?
Yeah.
And it was just odd. But we don't think of that now. We just think, Reno's Oklahoma. Everybody knows Music Man.
And the thing is I love Oklahoma. I don't like Judd.
No.
I don't like Judd. I don't like the dream sequence.
No.
there's a couple of, there's problems with it, with I'm a simple woman of the people sometimes.
Sure.
And I found Judd genuinely disturbing.
Yes.
And as he was supposed to be.
Yes.
And weirdly, they kill him.
Yeah.
And...
But it's an accident.
Right. But nobody cares except for they're psyched.
No.
And it's
I took my daughter to that show on her 7th birthday.
7th?
Yes.
Okay.
And in the very same theater at the Chanhassen.
Okay.
She had the steak. Anyway, her assessment of the show was, why didn't he just tell her he wanted to be friends with her?
Yeah.
Like... She didn't understand. Why is there all this conflict anyway?
Yeah.
Like, if they all just sat down and talked about it.
No kidding.
It would have been fine.
I believe I had the same thought. And I was in, it was in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the thing when you watch a musical.
Yeah.
The suspension of disbelief. It's like all romantic comedies and with many sitcoms. It was the things that would drive me nuts with I Love Lucy sometimes is when she would make clearly choices that no one would do in real life. Where you're like, nobody sets their clock back and thinks that they've set it forward. Don't be insane.
No.
But the crazy thing is I love musicals anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't matter. So there's Oklahoma, which I loved. Singing in the Rain, which has the ballet scene in it. Is that correct?
All Gene Kelly movies lose me.
Oh, really?
There's always...
You're Fred Astaire, not Gene Kelly?
Totally. Astaire all the way.
Okay. I love Singing in the Rain. The other ones are troubled. The Navy one? Not for me.
No.
But parts of it are great, and he's a lot more acrobatic.
He is.
Astaire. But Astaire is a lot more...
It always devolves into a really weird dream sequence. Or...
Yeah, like he gets to do ballet at some point.
Yeah, which is nice, but he goes
Have you ever
on.
Seen a ballet?
No, not
me either.
No,
I've never seen a real ballet like it in the theater. Chanhassen doesn't offer them.
They do not. No, I've seen like small pieces of ballet in a dance concert.
Right. Like people like, screwing around in a variety show with kids.
Well, like I remember I had to go to a dance show in college that was required.
Okay.
So there was a ballet portion.
Right.
So I have seen professional ballet dancers and I
but
was
only for 10 minutes
distracted by how squeaky the floor was. So
right.
I don't think I got what was intended out of it.
Maybe next Christmas I go to see like the Nutcracker or something.
Maybe.
Because it would be something.
Yeah.
It would be something to see, you know, like I've always kind of wanted to see an opera. And I've wanted to see, and I've never seen an opera.
I've seen one opera.
You've seen
an
opera?
It was wonderful.
It was amazing. And did they have translation?
Yeah.
Up?
They had the super titles when they put it above. The big, huge
like
ones.
Like captions, but they're big.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they That's the shrewdest idea.
And
they call
titles.
Them super titles.
Yeah.
Well, they're not screwing around then.
No.
They want you to get it.
It was very cool. I really
enjoyed
that.
What did they do
that.
Before they had all those screens? Was there someone with... You had to know Italian?
People knew the basic story.
Okay, they just let it go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they were as caught up.
Right, to the nuance.
Or it was just all of these comedy of manners where you just went to be seen at the opera and nobody gave a shit about the performance anyway.
Right.
So there's that.
Right. Where there could have been that. Yes. As I went down a rabbit hole today listening to Bridget Everett sing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an amazing voice. And I don't know why I didn't know that. I knew that she had a good voice.
I didn't know that.
But I didn't know that. Well, and she was in The New Yorker, so she's kind of a darling of the theater scene in the New York City.
And there's so much going on right now that I don't know about, and I freely acknowledge that.
Yeah.
There are so many.
And anybody
cool
gives you any guff about it, you're just like, no, that sounds great. It would be wonderful. In other news.
Well, like I said to you, I can talk about musicals up to a certain point at which I was too broke to buy CDs.
Right.
So I just kind of dropped off and had kids and stuff.
Right. Right. You just had to perpetuate the species. Now, okay, so there's Singing in the Rain. There's now the ones, the Fred Astaire ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I do like all of sort of Bing Crosby and Bob Hope.
Now, we like one of the same things. Now, I was just going to ask you about it. Because anytime anybody says South Bend to you, you say
Philadelphia Story. It sounds like dancing.
It sounds like dancing. I loved High Society, which is the musical version.
With Frank Sinatra. And Bing Crosby.
And yes.
It was my favorite movie as a child. And my stepmother, when I was about 14, was like, I know you love High Society, but have you ever seen The Philadelphia Story? And I was like, no, what's that? And she goes, it's the non-musical version of High Society. And I said, I don't want to see that.
So?
And she was like, no, it's really good. And I was like, yeah, but there's no singing. And then I went to college and I saw it. Somebody had a VHS or somebody had it. It was showing. My college used to show movies in the school rooms on like Friday and Saturday. My nephew goes to college and he said, yeah, they have movie night downstairs. And I said, oh, do they get the 35 millimeter thing and set them up? He goes, no, they have a giant screen TV and people bring their DVDs of Nemo.
That's not
and
a thing.
I was like, oh, it's something else entirely, Jackie. Fair enough. But yeah, so High Society.
I loved High Society.
People, you get a chance. Super cute. Mm-hmm. Grace Kelly. And this is what every time we would watch High Society, and we would watch it every time it was on. Nancy Kashian would say to me, you know, Grace Kelly wouldn't jump in the pool. Katharine Hepburn would jump in the pool. Grace Kelly said she would not jump in the pool. Katharine Hepburn was like, well, of course I'll jump in the pool. I'm not going to put a swimming suit on and not jump in the pool. And
but what a swimming suit it was.
Both of them.
I mean, really.
They both look, they're kind of knockouts.
No, I haven't seen Philadelphia Story completely in its entirety yet.
Oh, there you go.
I haven't.
You will enjoy. Because Jimmy Stewart, Katharine Hepburn, Cary Grant, and the two actors that play...
The reporters?
The reporters are... No, well, Jimmy Stewart's with the reporter, but the woman, his love interest is amazing.
Okay.
She freaking nails it. She's the one who hits that line, it has the breezes, Duluth.
Yes.
And
Celeste Holm in the movie, whom I love.
Was that Celeste Holm in High Society?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who played her in Philadelphia Story. I'll look it up, Rangers. I'll look it up. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I own the movie. I also enjoy Holiday, which has no music in it at all, which is Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn. Romantic comedy.
Holiday.
Just Holiday.
Oh, not Holiday Inn.
Not Holiday Inn, which is a great musical. I watch it every Christmas.
Yes.
And they show it now. I believe they take out the blackface.
Do they? I was wondering about that.
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And I don't want them to. The thing is my national shame, my white guilt can handle it. And I know what... It's, you know, I watched it this year because I love, you know, you take out the blackface, you've taken out the whole of President's Day, that whole number, right?
Right.
Which means that the actress and those two little kids who played his housekeeper, their scene is almost like her song is X'd out.
Right.
Because he's wearing blackface. I don't approve. I understand why.
It's interesting to see these things, and it's. I think it's okay to look at it and be critical of it.
Yeah, and just go, and know, well, hey, that's ridiculous. That was a thing.
And we don't need that anymore. It's different now.
We won't be doing that. We won't be doing that from now on. They did it there, and it's
maybe
part of this movie.
Just pretend that it didn't happen, because it did.
Oh, yeah. Totally did. And it's a classic, like the E.T. thing where they replace the guns with the walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's just making everything into a Ken doll for no reason. You know, where you're just like, no, everybody's an adult. And get this, if you're watching it with your children, then you get to have a dialogue.
Yeah.
Because your kids will be like, what the hell is that?
I don't understand.
Why is that happening? And then you can say, well, let me tell you about 75 years ago.
They
weren't super sensitive. But, I mean, almost every movie. And then, and the thing is then if you make it a taboo thing, people will use it just to light people up, and it'll be a, it'll morph into something. It'll come out sideways, I say.
Probably.
If you don't let it just be.
Yeah.
And just address it straight on, which I would prefer.
Do you like more of the movies than?
I only see movies. I never see theater.
You generally don't.
There's got to be a Chan Acid in L.A. I don't understand why I'm not heading out to... There's a thousand kinds of dinner theater going on out there.
Yeah.
I should totally go see. But we went and saw Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I know. I had not seen that movie. Thought that was funny.
Yeah. Well, it was... I inadvertently... Today is Andy Ashcraft's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Andy.
Much like...
A month ago.
Right, whenever this drops. Yeah, you guys, Rangers, now you can know when Andy's birthday is. It'll be like Harry Potter. It'll be like knowing. It's January 29th is Andy Ashcraft's birthday. Someone might want to remind me next year not to book a gig on his birthday. So I said, well, you can either come with me to New York and we can go see theater and museums and stuff for your birthday the week before, weekend before, or you can come on my birthday to Minneapolis and see my family. And he was like, let me not think about it and go to New York. And he's like, it's not that I don't love your family. It's just we went to the Met.
Yeah.
We went out to eat. We went to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch with the guy that wrote it. Did you see the movie or any of it?
I have the recording.
Okay.
And I did see the movie.
The movie
didn't stay with me. It didn't.
Oh, no.
I only saw it once and it kind of...
I think people who saw the stage play and then saw the movie thought that the movie did a really good job.
I think so.
But if you only saw the movie, like I never even wanted to see the movie. I was like, oh, whatever. And then I saw the play and it was excellent.
Yeah.
And the songs are pretty good.
They're amazing. They're really, really amazing.
Are there more than like, because I remember there being two songs that I really liked. Are there more than that on the soundtrack?
There's, I mean, the opening song, it's just incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to have to buy the soundtrack.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It really is amazing. I'd say there's probably four songs that the dial goes way up.
Okay.
In the
and
car.
You crank it.
Crank it and sing it along.
That's great.
And,
four songs on an album? That's a win.
Yeah.
That's worth $14 or whatever it costs for the whole album. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's really just incredible. And I think a lot of people were put off by it because if you're not familiar with Hedwig, it's the story of this young man who...
East Berlin. The year before the wall comes down.
He gets into a relationship with a man who kind of suggests that, you know, maybe you should try on some women's clothes. You just see if you like it, see what that's like. And eventually talks him into getting a sex change operation, which goes badly.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, I may not have gotten that.
You don't understand. I have to, I'm not laughing at you.
No.
I am laughing near you.
Right. the lyrics go. I didn't really understand. Okay, yeah.
I have a 1-inch mound of flesh where my penis used to be,
where
my vagina never was. I mean, I think that kind of gives it, you know,
puts
it into black and white a little.
I think that was probably what they were trying to tell me. All I know was that it was weird. And I was in. I was in from the get. I was in from the get-go. And I was trying to figure out what the B message was the of that. Because it was in the end of the play. There is a scene where he either becomes the young boy or he embraces his own inner young boy. Which one is it?
I don't know. I can't.
Is it The Lady and the Tiger? I get to pick?
I'm not sure.
Seen it?
Enough? No, I mean, like I said, I saw the movie version, which is really, really different and a little bit more literal than the stage version. And it really did not make a lasting impression on me.
Okay.
So
maybe I'll watch the movie and they will spell it out for me and that'll be beautiful for me.
Yeah. I thought of the B message, I would say, is really about being who you are.
Yeah.
And not letting a relationship define you and not letting the society define you. I mean, that's how I explained it to my mother.
Okay.
When she got into my car and it was playing, she said, "What is this?"
Does your mother like musicals?
She does. Yeah. Awesome. She kind of, I mean, well, she took us to shows.
Oh, right. Yeah.
From,
she was the one.
From a young age. Mm-hmm. And my parents loved movie musicals.
Right.
And they used to buy all the albums.
Okay.
So we had vinyl.
Right.
Of, say, West Side Story and...
Well, yeah, and so did Nancy. So yeah. My stepmother. It's, I just got, last Christmas, I got Guys and Dolls and South Pacific, the mm-hmm. movies. And
the South Pacific, the movie, will drive you a little insane when you're like, what's happening with the color?
Oh, it's very bright.
Fades into, during the middle of some song, it just sort of fades into a color. It all becomes
yellow. You have watched it more
yellow.
Often than I have.
Oh, I've seen it several times.
Yes, I would say.
It's like all blue.
If you notice the color correction
well,
in the film.
It's weird.
Okay.
I mean, it's an effect, but it's really...
Oh, are they did it on purpose?
On purpose, yeah.
Okay.
It's really...
Was it a statement of Asian freedom?
I don't
the
know.
The Red Dawn? No?
No.
Okay.
If it was, it didn't play.
All right. didn't work. It's, yeah, but I love, you know, because I do love that in those musicals, there were all these sort of subversive messages.
Yeah.
Guys and Dolls, not so much.
Not so much, unless they were trying to convert everyone.
To never getting married, and then getting married, and then treating gamblers.
Being part of the Salvation Army. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows?
That part.
I love that song, though, that Nicely Nicely sings.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat.
Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat. Redone by, I think, some Don Henley?
I think it was Don Henley for...
In the 90s?
For Leap of Faith. Starring Steve Martin.
Oh, there you go. Nice work pulling that out of the air. Well played. So, yeah. So I have that and I have Hair.
Okay.
And
again, Hair didn't do anything for me.
What did you... Let's go through this then.
Okay.
So we start with Oklahoma and The Music Man. What's the next one you like?
Well, I
chronologically.
Liked My Fair Lady.
Oh, right. I always had trouble with that.
Yeah.
Just because he was so controlling. But
yeah,
the music was
It
lovely.
Went over my head at first. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it.
Gigi?
Gigi. I was of an age where Gigi creeped me out.
Right. That would have been, I saw it before it creeped me out.
Yeah.
And then it was
good.
Revealed to me later that I should have been creeped out. And so then it kind of creeped me out, but I still kind of liked it because it was Gigi.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, wait, wasn't she a kid just a
Yeah, she
few
was a tiny
scenes ago?
Yeah, two scenes
wait,
ago.
What's
and
happening
then,
here?
He's grooming her to be his mistress.
Creepy. Yeah, yeah. I liked him better in Octopussy.
What would he play in Octopussy?
He was the bad guy. Who was
oh, fair enough.
On.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what? Okay.
Okay.
So
I liked My Fair Lady.
What'd you like about My Fair Lady? The
well,
music
I
or
liked
the
music? I think I didn't particularly like. Henry Higgins. I mean,
okay.
I did think he was kind of controlling and...
Yeah, yeah.
And
but it was weird in the end. Like, I didn't get why... I didn't see them fall in love. Sometimes I don't
well,
see...
That, no,
in the
they
movie,
don't.
You don't.
And that's what I kind of appreciated about it,
yeah.
Was that he was intent on continuing on with their whatever working relationship, I guess. I don't know. But I was kind of like, well, I'm glad that she didn't end up with Freddie.
Okay.
Who... comes over and declares his love for her because that's what he's doing. And she's
okay.
like, why do you love me?
Right.
What? You don't have any reason to.
Right.
You're being insane.
Okay.
And
huh.
So she doesn't end up with Freddie and she doesn't end up with Henry Higgins. And presumably, I'd like to think that
yeah.
she gets to be something after that.
Okay. Yeah, I can't
yeah.
remember how that one ended. Did she just go off
ends.
Into the...
It ends. She tells him off.
Okay.
She gets really mad at him. And he says something like, you know, hooray, you're finally...
A person?
Speaking for yourself.
Oh, okay.
And then he just says, where the devil are my slippers? Fade to black.
That's the last line of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I do not
I believe it
that.
Is.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
All right. That is interesting.
Yeah.
And so what'd you like after that?
Let's see. South Pacific, obviously.
Right.
I really liked South Pacific.
Right. You have to be carefully taught.
You have to be carefully taught. I think that's
an awesome message.
When you stop and think about it, that
it
was
blew
included.
My mind when I was a kid. Yeah.
It kind of washed over me at first. A lot of these things just kind of,
I think we did it in high school.
Okay.
Like I ended up seeing Auntie Mame, My Fair, South Pacific, and Guys and Dolls in high school.
Right.
Because my brothers, we went and saw them work on it as well.
Yeah. I started going to the musicals when our high school, like when I was in sixth grade, I started going to the high school musicals just to see them.
Yeah.
And that was Guys and Dolls.
Okay.
Which was so much fun. And then Annie. And of course, I went through an Annie period.
Did you go through an Annie phase?
Loved Annie.
Never saw it until I was an adult.
Hated the movie.
I was okay with it. I think I missed the window when I was supposed to fall in love with the idea of Annie.
Yeah, I loved the stage version.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
I always thought that our high school did a better version than the movie of South Pacific. I was wrong.
Okay.
It turns out. But I was 15.
Sure.
So there you go.
Yeah, so I went and saw that. And then Annie and... And then we did Sound of Music.
And
we did Sound of Music, Music Man, Into the Woods, and The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Okay, I've never even heard The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Not very common.
Okay, is it a Sondheim?
No, it's Rupert Holm is the name of the guy.
The Woods, I never heard of Sondheim until probably 1998.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about it. And I saw Into the Woods and my mind was kind of blown. It was a Bernadette Peters production on VHS.
Yeah, and it was the American Playhouse.
Oh, was it?
It was a PBS production.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if it was a bootleg or not, but it was not.
It cracked me up when you tweeted about it being a bootleg.
Nope. It was just a shitty version of a VHS, Jackie. Yeah. Turns out somebody didn't tape it very well. Okay. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When I was in high school and I started doing... more musicals.
Yeah.
We started listening to more and getting into more. And so Phantom of the Opera blew my mind.
Now, why did that blow your mind?
Because it was nothing like anything South Pacific before it. You know, it was not anything like Rodgers and Hammerstein or any of those. I mean, it had a synthesizer in it for crying out loud. Right. I mean, that was thrilling at the time.
Right. The hair kind of blew my mind because of that. And Tommy. Sure. And,
I didn't get to Tommy until...
College?
Well, until the stage version came around.
Right.
And that was college. And then we went back and would listen to
the soundtracks of the movies and the
concept album and see the movie. And the movie is, that's weird.
It's spooky. Yeah. But I never saw it on stage, so that's all I got.
Well, it was supposed to come here to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And they didn't make it here. They went to Toronto. And sold the entire set to the theater in Toronto.
Oh, weird.
So they said, sorry, we can't come to Minneapolis. We sold our set and made more money than we would make coming to Minneapolis. So we didn't get a chance to see it.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So
Phantom of the Opera.
Who are these writers? There's Roger Hammerstein.
Yeah.
That's where I stopped knowing what the name of anybody is. And then there were rock operas like Jesus Christ Superstar and Hair.
So, Jesus Christ Superstar is Andrew Lloyd Webber, same as Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's
and
Andrew
chess.
Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. No, right. He didn't do chess.
Who did chess?
The guys from ABBA.
Which I always think of as Andrew Lloyd Webber.
But it's not.
Who is Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Well,
is he not in ABBA?
No. He's just the guy.
Did he do a roller skating one?
Yeah, he did Starlight Express, the roller skating trains one.
Okay.
Which is... awful.
Yeah. I was in London when that was out. I saw chess and someone was like, well, do you want to go see the roller skating one? I was like, not ever.
No.
I don't ever care about roller skating. So I can't imagine I'm going to care about roller skating and singing
together. I tried
to
like Cats. And I think I missed the window on that one too.
I don't know. I don't know what I was supposed to be seeing with Cats.
I don't know. It was
Phantom of the Opera had at least the story of Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a fine telling of the story.
Yeah.
I watched the 20th anniversary or the 25th anniversary, whatever we're on now.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. And it's a concert type version. Kind of like the chess. You've seen that one, right?
The concert version of chess?
Yes, I have. Okay, good. But they had one... Royal Albert Hall anniversary show. And it's mostly staged, but it's... very concert-y, kind of like that chess one. And I just, oh my gosh. It's that, quite dated.
That's right. Because Tim Rice did the book for Chess. That's why I mixed him up. Because he worked with Andrew Lloyd Webber on other stuff,
right? He did Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's what, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then he and Elton John did Aida.
Oh.
In the early aughts.
How do you spell Aida?
A-I-D-A.
I missed all references.
It's Italian.
Okay.
So the I is an E.
As opposed to Evita.
Yes.
Which, who did that?
That's Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they all have that Tim Rice feel to the music.
Well, he does the lyrics, though.
Oh, he does lyrics?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know anything about anything I'm talking about. Welcome back to the program. But I know what I like, you guys.
Yes. Did you like Evita? Have you ever seen Evita?
I've seen parts of it, and I liked it.
Okay.
But
see, now that's an amazing example of the movie, I think, being better.
Yeah.
Although I have heard of some
productions,
some more recent productions where they really shake it up and really make. See, the thing that bothers me about musicals, too, is people get so literal with them. And they say, well, Oklahoma is this way and you have to do it this way. And there's no changing it up.
Oh, right, right.
But who says? Why is that?
Right, right. You can reinterpret Eugene O'Neill. Why can't you reinterpret
People
Oklahoma?
People do it with Shakespeare constantly.
Oh, my God. They're constantly fucking with Shakespeare.
Why?
Mixed results, too.
No, definitely.
And let there be mixed results.
As the producer of Much Ado About Nothing set in the high school,
yep,
I can speak to that.
Okay.
Not a good idea. It's okay.
It was all right, but everybody, you brought up the flagpole.
But I mean, at the very, very least. Okay, so my husband and I, we worked on Oklahoma together.
Okay.
And he did scene design for it.
Okay.
And we freaked people out. This was in South Dakota, so they're very freak outable.
Note to self.
So for the dream sequence, he created a set based on the set that Wanda Sykes used in her half-hour Comedy Central special. I think it would have been her first.
Weird.
This was in 2000.
Okay.
And we watched a lot of Comedy Central back then.
Right.
So she had this really cool backdrop behind her that was kind of orange, and it sort of suggested trees. It was kind of like,
let's do that for Oklahoma?
Yeah, because it was cool.
Okay.
And it was a really easy thing to do because it was basically just a big curtain that you just pull across. But people were like, what is this? How are we going to know where we are? Oh, well, how about the actors tell the story?
Right. How about you're in a gym in South Dakota anyway? So my friend Jim Wooster, who's been on the program a couple of times, he's from South Dakota. And when he was 8 years old, this is all going to lead back. This is a full circle, folks. There was a production in his third grade class where they did the history of jazz. History of jazz in South Dakota with eight-year-olds. He wore blackface.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a picture of himself in blackface from when he's eight. It's still not okay. It's still pretty funny. Just going to leave it at that. Okay. Just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So we haven't talked West Side Story yet.
Right.
Now, who did that?
That is, blanking out, it's Leonard Bernstein, but Stephen Sondheim did the lyrics.
That's right.
Yes.
I saw a documentary about Stephen Sondheim.
Yep.
And so that was the first time Sondheim got a big credit, right?
Yeah,
is that correct?
That was a big deal.
That was his first big sort of giant break.
He was Oscar Hammerstein's neighbor protégé and friend and protege.
Okay.
And so he got him the job on West Side Story.
Okay. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
And so West Side Story, I've never seen the end of it. I understand they all die at the end. Same with King and I.
Not all of them.
I know, but I just, most of them die. Same with King and I. Never saw the end of it.
And West Side Story is another one that people are not comfortable with. And people get upset about it. And
why
they say, well, it's not realistic that these gangs would be walking around. And it's like, well,
it's set on Romeo and Juliet.
But again, if you look at it from if you look at the movie version of it.
Okay.
From the very first seconds of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie versions are weird to us now because they play the whole overture.
Okay.
And that freaks people out because they're like, what? Something should happen now. Nothing's happening.
But something's happening. The music is playing.
First seconds of it, it's an aerial shot of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of slowly goes in, and it shows you the world in a way. And it's very fake looking.
Okay.
It doesn't look like real New York.
Yeah, it's like prime colors and primary colors.
Yeah, but it's, I think that that's a really smart thing to do, to establish it as, here's the world in which this place, you know.
This takes place.
This story happens.
And it's clearly much brighter and much darker. There's black and white.
There's no winking to the camera. There's hardly people in the background that are like, oh, you know, what's going on over here? You know, that's what made me so furious about Rent.
Okay.
The movie version of Rent.
Okay.
I saw them on a talk show talking about it and saying, no, it's not like, oh, people just spontaneously break into song and nobody knows what's going on. That's exactly what it was.
Oh, really?
It was like they had the characters from the musical on the street and they had people on the street looking at them like, what the hell are you doing? Which, okay, maybe that was a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did not work.
Because it pulled you out of the movie.
Yes.
You were like, oh, this would be weird. Yes. And now I've missed the lyrics.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're looking at West Side Story.
Right.
And you're just looking at it. I mean, if you're really paying attention to it, mm-hmm. which I do.
Right. Which is one of the things you do.
Yes. It's a whole world. It's an entire...
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it tells a story.
Yeah.
From the colors to the sets to the style of acting and singing and dancing was its own thing.
Okay.
And it translated, I think, very well to the screen.
So it's one of your favorites, clearly.
I can't watch it all the time. It's too sad.
Right.
I can't even listen to it all the time. It's too sad.
It's really sad.
But
it's pretty sad.
It's very impressive.
They did a nice job. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
I will say that. Jesus Christ Superstar is actually quite sad. And,
yes.
And
creepy.
And
actually very creepy when you listen to it.
I listened to it, the album, before I ever saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen. I call it my religious experience when I was 13 or 14. I would just, Nancy would come home from work and she's like, you're listening to this again?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And she said, well, turn it off. And
my friend and I used to listen to it in her basement working mm-hmm. on our algebra homework in high school. And I think it was on vinyl too, because it was one of the ones that she had listened to when she was a little kid.
Right.
Like really little when we were kids then. But
this was all vinyl.
Yeah.
This was whenever our house wasn't very big. And so the record player and the TV were in the same room. So whenever anyone came home, if you were listening to an album, that was over. That was over. You got to listen to an album maybe 20 minutes at a time. I mean, I'm youngest of six.
Right.
And
I had my own Fisher-Price record player.
Oh, did you? Now, a little close and play?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice work.
So I would go and get vinyl from the library.
Oh, right. And check it out.
And listen to them. If I could, I would listen to them on the big turntable in the living room.
Sure.
But again, if anybody else was home, they'd be like... Again? Really? Shut it off.
Right. Right. Well, and then I saw Hair in college with my friend Jenny Bergman. And when it was sad, when he dies in Vietnam, spoiler alert, movie's 37 years old, I was crying so hard in the schoolroom. And we leave and I was like, okay, a little warning when we go see a movie that it's going to be sad. She goes, it was so devastating, wasn't it? And I was like, Treat Williams. And
there's a lot of that in musicals.
Yeah,
and again,
yeah,
I think that's why it's off-putting to some people. It's
just so much
raw emotion.
Yeah.
And I think people have a tough time reconciling the comedy with that
real.
Like Rent.
I think that's real.
Is really can be like that because it's very funny.
Because I've never seen it, and I've never heard it or any of it. So.
20 times.
Right.
In the theater.
Awesome.
Camped out for front row seats.
Sure.
Sitting on the sidewalk.
Chanhassen?
Nope. Ordway.
Ordway.
Yeah.
Ordway here in Minneapolis.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. The, you know, basic story of that one? I mean, it's La Boheme.
Yeah.
But it's set in New York.
Tell me what it is, because I clearly do not.
Okay, it's the story of La Boheme, but it's set in New York in...
What's the story of La Boheme?
Well, it's a bunch of artists, a bunch of completely broke artists.
Okay.
And in this case, they're squatters in Alphabet City, New York.
Okay.
And they all have aspirations of different sorts.
Some are writers, some are dancers, some are singers, or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's convenient when you're putting a musical together because you don't need everybody.
And there's some drug addicts, and there's some people that have AIDS.
Okay. And they're all trying to make the rent.
Yes. Yeah. Their one friend owns the building. He sold out. He married a rich
lady. Socialite lady.
Yeah. So he owns the building, and he's like, got to pay rent. And they're like, we're not going to pay rent. And rent. Anyway. But it's really very funny in the beginning. And it's very non-realistic right from the beginning.
Okay.
The two main characters, Roger and Mark, come out on the stage and they have a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, this is our stove.
Okay.
And we have an electrical cord running out the window. That's mm-hmm. all of our electricity. And this is all we have.
Okay.
And they're burning scripts to keep warm.
Okay.
And that's how the opera begins.
That's
too.
Very funny.
They're
yeah.
burning, I think, sheet music in the opera. But I had a point about rent.
Right.
I totally had a point about that. But oh, it's very funny to start with.
Yes.
But by the end,
everyone's half of them are dead.
One of them's dead. One of them's dying. They fight and they go
People
away
are sad.
And they come back. And yeah, it's sad and... You know, there's a near-death experience and,
okay.
you know, and it's like, well, it's probably going to happen again. She's probably still going to die.
Right.
But, you know, she lived this time. Yay.
And so. So you, I mean, the thing, most musicals are kind of like, I mean, I like the happier ones where, I mean, even at Jesus Christ Superstar, you know he's coming back. It's all going to work out.
Yeah.
And Hair, what's this? The corn-fed guy, he lives. And that's nice.
Yeah.
And then, like, I never saw The Wiz.
Yeah.
I never saw... There were ones in the next musical I think I saw was Chess.
Okay.
And then I didn't see one until I think Into the Woods.
Where did you see Chess? I mean, that's
in
really
London.
Rare. Oh, okay.
I saw it in London when it was still on the West End. Weirdly enough, Andy Ashcraft saw it in Los Angeles with all of his friends from UCLA. They loved Chess. I loved Chess all through college. And then I went to London to drink myself to death for 3 months, and it was lovely, and to see theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a theater and a couple of things. I forget the other two things I saw. And then I worked in a movie theater. So,
I never saw Chess. Until I was in high school, one of the other high schools did it.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Oh, they did it.
Terrible.
We also
really
saw
terrible.
A production underneath an overpass in L.A., a tiny, and there's three different endings, Andy tells me.
Yeah.
Is they can pick whatever ending they want. And you're like, well, I don't approve of that.
There was a hilarious article with that PBS version.
Okay.
Where somebody was talking about how there have been so many different versions of Chess. There's
mm-hmm.
actually a version of Chess that was staged as Chess happening at a backstage at a staging of Chess.
Oh my God.
So,
oh my God. Chess within a Chess?
Yes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And see, we all had just the album experience.
Right.
We listened to the album and there were people that were like, okay, do you like the one with the black cover or the white cover?
Oh, right.
Do you
right.
like the one with the flags on it or not the flags?
This is the one situation.
Yes.
And so that's what I would like to say about that.
And the PBS one has the third ending,
oh,
as
really?
Far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Where there's the one where him and his wife get back together. There's the
yeah.
one with him and the girlfriend get back together. And there's the one where he doesn't get with anybody. Right. And
yeah.
is that the third one?
I think so.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I where it's...
And it's super... Yeah. And, you know, Rangers, if you're listening to this and you think to yourself, the fascinating world of Chess, how could it be a musical? Think about the fascinating world of any musical and why it would be a musical.
It is. It's just... That's what I just love. Why not?
Why not sing about it?
Why not? I mean... Yeah, there's a barber, he's killing people, and someone's making him into meat pies.
Right.
Why not?
Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
I saw that only as a movie
okay.
with Johnny Depp, I
okay.
believe, and Tim Burton. And I didn't mind it.
Yeah, it's all right.
I think some people like the stage play a lot more.
I
might have
so.
Seen a stage play of it and might have blocked it out. So I've seen some very mediocre theater.
Haven't we all?
I know.
But I have been in some very mediocre theater. Right. I freely admit it's sad but true.
Sad but true, because mediocre theater happens. But it's not the end of the world. I mean, the greatest thing about mediocre theater is that it's finite.
Yes.
I mean, it's a run and then you're done. It's not like it has another.
I think that's another reason for people to dislike musicals, mm-hmm. because if you're in that situation and
seeing a mediocre
musical, and you're seeing somebody who cannot pour the emotion or does not have the technical ability
or doesn't have a big enough personality to fill that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other sad thing is that all these musicals got produced by, mm-hmm. you know, on Broadway or wherever,
mm-hmm.
and they cater it to whoever is doing it. They write the songs for that person. They put it in their best key,
mm-hmm.
and they transpose everything and they make it perfect. Whoever, you know, Glynis Johns, Stephen Sondheim wrote Send in the Clowns for her.
Okay.
And instead of singing, she sings, Isn't It Rich?
Yeah.
And instead of her singing, Isn't It Blue? Because he knew her voice.
Okay.
And said, you know, she's got a very short...
Right, she's not going to be able to hold that note.
And it doesn't sound good on her. So he wrote the lyrics for her
right.
to sound good.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then somebody else middle America, has to step into that and be like, no, I was born to play this. No, you actually weren't.
No.
And
no.
It's hard for you.
Right. It's like when you find someone who could make clothes for you. Like mm-hmm. I have a couple of friends who have people who make clothes for them, because I'm right below that level of show business. And I wish to be at that level of show business, because how great would that be? Someone looked at this and said, well, we could make the best of that.
Yeah.
Let's see, like what Oprah does, right?
Yeah.
She always looks amazing.
Yeah, just here it is. This is the ultimate, this is the best thing for you to
you
make
look
you look
amazing in that.
You know, or in this case, to sound perfect.
Yes.
So I think that we've all been subjected to...
To mediocre.
To the high school gym or the whatever, just really bad.
Just terrible. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean we don't appreciate the work.
Ruin it. I understand.
Yeah. And if you have a formative moment where that's the theater you've seen, it could put you off theater.
I think it can.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Which I do know that in Los Angeles, there's a guy who books comedy. He's a piece of work, but his wife is an actress and she is always in something. She's always in a musical. She's always in a play. She's always in a revival. And it feels Chan Hassany. It feels like dinner theater. It feels like community theater. And she could give a shit because she was born to act. And so she's going to go off. And if you don't like it, you don't like it,
mm-hmm.
but she needs to do it. And so that's what she's going to do. And I would like to see, I've never even seen her act. And Andy has a friend, Graydon, who has been acting in things. And so I've seen him in two things. He's only small parts in these theater productions. But I think that seeing live theater is something to encourage.
I think so. It
can be expensive if you go to the big productions, but I think that there's smaller productions.
Yeah.
But I still think it's more than a movie, isn't it? Like
usually,
$25 probably?
I think usually.
Like the low
it
end?
All depends.
You might be able to get 15, 20.
I mean, and here in Minneapolis, we really have tons and tons of options.
Right.
So
well, there's always a live performance of something.
Yeah.
Right. There's plenty of music going on and plenty of comedy.
Yeah.
But it's these sort of larger productions that you're like, because there's so much work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the team that is involved to create, even if it's a solo show, even if it's just a one-person show, sometimes there's backdrops and set pieces and stuff like that that has to be done, or multimedia.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a team effort.
Yeah. It's.
Do you still see a lot of theater?
I don't get to see as much as I would like to because I'm broke all the time.
Right, right. Because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Everyone go to geekiana.com, by the way, and buy some crap.
That would be helpful at
that
this point.
That would be. It can't hurt.
But I want to be able to take my kids to stuff. That's what I really, really wish I could do more.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they've gotten to go to things through school.
Oh, right, right. Because school puts on all that stuff.
Yeah. So they've been to, like, the children's theater and,
right.
Or this year, my daughter elected to go to a musical for her birthday.
Oh, nice.
And we went to Youth Performance Company, which is a really small
mm-hmm.
theater, but
does a nice job.
Doing great things.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah, yeah. So that's what did you guys go see?
Dracula.
Dracula
the musical. Very
right.
funny.
Let's
very, very funny.
How do they sing with those fangs?
Very carefully. they write all of their own shows.
Okay.
So this is one. My friends were in it back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was one of the shows that they did right before I started doing shows with them forever ago.
Okay.
But it's a
same
wonderful
show?
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they
same
don't
show,
write a
updated
new
jokes.
Stuff. Okay, updated jokes. So
yes.
Sure. Yugoslavia's not always going to be available. And you got to bring it into the 21st.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think there is a way to probably see more stuff, and I don't know though. I mean, some of it just takes legwork of mm-hmm. trying to figure out. Was like, I guess I could usher.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's hard too because you don't know, and sometimes you get into something that you're, you know, like if you think it's going to be a musical, and you go, oh yeah, it's going to be fun,
yeah.
and
yeah, yeah,
no problem, and then. You have a barber who's killing people,
and it's not really age appropriate.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, I gotta need to know what the plot is.
I mean, I think it's not so much of an issue anymore. I think that with like movies like Hedwig and
yeah.
you know, people do know a lot more. But I think still there is this preconceived notion that it's musical.
Oh, right.
Happy.
It should be super light.
Yeah, it's
now,
great.
Because Sondheim, so he did West Side Story.
Yeah,
he's done Into the Woods.
Yeah.
He's done some other ones.
Oh, he's done so many.
So many.
He's done so many shows, and I don't even know them all.
Right. What are your favorite ones that you remember?
Well, Sweeney Todd is really my favorite.
And that's his.
That's his.
Yeah.
That's all his.
Didn't know that.
But cocaine or not, I don't know. I don't know if he was on cocaine. I don't have any idea.
Is there a theory?
I'm sure. But wasn't everybody? I don't know. The story for Sweeney Todd was A Penny Dreadful.
Okay.
And I've read it, and it's even more insane.
Oh, is A Penny Dreadful?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes, it's nuts.
And, yeah.
But a real page-turner.
Really? You're like, what happened to this guy?
It was really insane. It was one of those that came out in the serial in the newspaper, and you...
Oh, it was a comic strip? It was a strip?
It was, yeah. It
a Penny Dreadful strip?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
It was
episodic.
And, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that story is just nuts. I just love it. It's Angela Lansbury and Len Carew is just incredible. Victor Garber's in it.
Now, what's Victor Garber?
Well,
I don't know him.
He's pretty famous for going on to be in TV shows like Alias.
Okay.
He's Jennifer Garner's dad.
Well, you know that the dad in both the parents in Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
We're huge.
Oh, I love Jerry Orbach.
Yeah, Jerry Orbach musical theater, right?
Oh, man. His voice is great.
Yeah. The guy who, in Murphy Brown, who played the main, like the haircut guy, who was the lead. He was the newscaster, the main newscaster, super stiff.
Okay.
Very wooden. He was a musical theater guy in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And because I got to, when I got
the guy was balding?
Nope.
Nope.
No, no. Guy with
gosh, yes, with the big voice,
with the big voice and super,
yes,
super wooden,
yeah.
I can't remember.
I cannot think of his name, but
yeah,
I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was.
I like interesting voices. I like Bernadette Peters. I like Angela Lansbury. I like Glynis Johns. I'm not so interested in these Disney perfect.
Oh, right, the pitch-perfect kind of stuff.
It's
fine
not,
if it's not attached to somebody who's also been doing a lot of sit-ups.
Yeah.
Because then it makes them... Because a lot of the young stars right now, no offense to it, especially no offense to the fact that they have to work their heads off.
Yeah.
But they all look the same. They have the same trainers. They have the same training. They're sculpting their bodies to look like the same people. It's very hard.
And when they're on Broadway, they all sound the same.
Because they have the same voice teachers?
I mean, they all want to be Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel, which they'll never be. But there's this real generic, just super polished.
Yeah.
That I find really dull. Which is another reason why I haven't kept up with... I mean, I know Sacrilege, I don't know Wicked.
Okay.
I have not heard it. I've not
seen it. I didn't read it.
I read it.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
You read the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also ruined Les Mis by reading the book first, too. So I could.
Charles Kimbrough.
Oh.
Who played Jim Dial.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That guy.
But I just love character.
He's from St. Paul.
Huh.
Charles Kimbrough.
Huh.
Who played Jim Dial. How crazy is that?
And he went to Milwaukee to do theater.
And he went to Milwaukee to do theater. And I said, so you did musical theater in Milwaukee? And he goes, a lot of places. He was sitting next to Candace Bergen. And she goes, really? And he goes, I did it a lot of places, not just Milwaukee. And
not that there's anything wrong with
not
that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, I guess. And here's the good news. He's still working. Actually, he's doing video games, voiceover stuff.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Nice.
And yeah.
I was almost in a musical with Josh Hartnett.
Who's from here. My nephew went to college with him.
But
how weird is
that?
But
he quit, so.
He quit?
Yeah.
He got out?
Yeah.
Ah, well.
Oh, well.
What are you going to do?
I stayed in.
You stayed in?
Yeah, it was good.
And you got to be in it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's, yeah, I wonder, you know, because there's, Into the Woods was, I just saw the movie, and I had seen that PBS thing. And so I really liked that. I thought that the writing on that was not only interesting and different. No, that was it. It was just interesting and different.
Well, I think it's much more interesting than, okay,
just
Singing in the Rain was a great movie. Let's put it on stage.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like The Producers. It was great as a movie. Let's put it on stage. And now let's put it back on the screen again. Which, you know, that's great. That's
right. It's busy.
I also really enjoy something like Into the Woods that is a complete and a new thing.
Yeah, where
like
you
chess.
Took. Yeah, where you took something, you took all of these different stories, and you're like, let's play jumble with it,
mm-hmm.
and that's fun. And I do love the music though. It's just nice to have.
It is a bitch to sing though.
All the music?
Oh, my God.
Or to sing in general?
To Sondheim, to sing.
Oh, okay.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It doesn't look easy. I'm a team singer, so I'm good. And my throat's been scratchy lately, so I don't know.
I'm not going to force you. Don't worry.
Oh. I'm not the kind of person that, if you know those people that you even bring up singing, and they burst into song. Those are people who want to sing.
Yeah.
I am not that person. I like to sing, but I'm more of a solo or a team solo alone team singer.
I'm a car singer.
Oh, car's nice. Car's always singing along, along with things.
Yeah.
I like to sing along.
Not so much with the lullabies anymore. There were several years of that.
Sure, because of the youth.
Yeah, the mom jukebox.
Yeah, yeah, mom jukebox. Sing that again.
Yeah, we're done with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm pretty much back to the car.
Well, Leanne Olson, this was amazing. We have actually talked about, has this been something to talk about?
This
real?
Has been something.
There you go. This has been something. Everyone, Geekiana, GEEKIANA.com, and follow at Geekiana on Twitter. And thank you so much for listening. We've been talking about musicals. Well played. Take care of each other out there. Thanks for doing it.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?